Welcome, Gary. Thanks for stopping by today.
My pleasure.
You have written both short plays and full-length plays. When you have an idea germinating, how do you decide its final form?
I think the story decides its final form. You know, I write for myself, and I write to understand an issue or a problem or a thought or a question that I might have. And so when I feel like the question has been answered, then the container has been defined. So if I'm trying to understand why, extraordinary loss or grief or whatever it happens to be has presented itself into my life, then that will tell me whether that's 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever. I just keep writing the story out until I'm satisfied.
You're here and you're teaching, and I know you do quite a bit of teaching. How do you steer a gifted writer into choosing their art form?
Oh gosh, that's a really good question. I'll just have to put it back on me. It chose me. You know, the theater was a place for me to be my most free. And so it allowed me a place to express myself and to imagine other worlds and to be other people and to share stories that I didn't hear anywhere else on the kind of creative artistic landscape. So, you know, oftentimes, I don't know that we choose it. I think it chooses us, or at least that's my personal philosophy.
In this very challenging economy, with money for arts being so slashed, are you seeing a reduction in the numbers of aspiring playwrights because they just feel, I'll never make it, or talk about what you see in the next crop?
Right. Well, it's tough being a playwright. There is no question about it. And, you know, the opportunities to be produced in this country seemingly feel like they're shrinking, and probably are. So I think what playwrights do is that they figure out how to cobble together lives and careers through teaching, through writing, through being produced, through working in city parks with kids, through... I mean, there are so many ways in this day and age to be the artist that you want to be. I think, you know, the good old days of I'm going to be a playwright and I'm going to make my living as a playwright and I wouldn't say those are over because that's just not true, but I think it has become more difficult. So because of the economics that are involved. I'm a real proponent of if you have a story to tell and you are of the theater, you tell that story and it will find its audience. And maybe that's a table of 12 people, or maybe that's a theater of 1,200. It will find its way. And that's probably the most important thing, just to tell the stories that you're meant to tell.
So in your very, very extensive travels, you haven't felt the need for young playwrights to head off to, you know, the Northeast. I mean, tell us about, you know, when you've had your socks knocked off in Omaha or...
I think great theater, you know, in this day and age particularly, I think there was a time where we would have said that maybe the Northeast was a place that focused a lot of great theater. And certainly there's a lot of good theater in New York. There's extraordinary theater in Chicago and Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, Boston, Miami, Houston, New Orleans, because... Again, going back to your statement that you made earlier about economics, you know, in this day and age, it's tough for anybody to live, say, in a huge metropolitan city. It's just hard. It's expensive. It wears on the soul. And in the day and age of the internet, of course, we don't have to be in these big metropolitan cities. We can be in Iowa. We can be in... a small remote town in New Mexico, or because those stories can be told and translated out and about without us actually having to be in residence somewhere. So I see great theater all over this country, and thankfully.
Now, I heard you speak about this to your students, but for the listeners who have their play tucked in their drawer and are wishing, hoping, believing, what's your advice to them to get started?
Mm-hmm. Well, there again, going back to the, it's crazy about the internet, right? But, you know, going back to the internet, one of the things that we probably should spend some time doing, which none of us like to do, by the by, is to research what theaters do the work that we write. Because not every theater does our work, right? We all write very unique, very different stories. And theaters across the country tell very unique, very different stories. And some produce historic drama, and some produce stories by and for women, and some produce gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered stories. And, you know, there are theaters that are very specific to what they produce. Then there are theaters that will produce just really good, interesting plays. So the first thing that I would do is that I would get on the internet and say, well, first thing I would do is I would make an assessment of, this is what I write. This is what I write. These are my stories that I tell. And where in this country is doing that? And how can I find that? And that's as simple as sitting down at your keyboard. It's really that simple. Or belonging to an organization like the Dramatists Guild, or belonging to organizations like New Dramatists in New York, or the Minneapolis Playwrights Center. There are these institutions all over this country that are here to support and nurture playwrights that you don't have to be in residence for.
What are your upcoming projects?
I'm writing a play right now about people of age falling in love, because I don't know that we see that very often. I mean, we certainly see 20 and 30 and 40-year-olds, which are all glorious, but these are people that are in their 70s. And I love the idea of that. I love the idea of people finding love in that part of their life, and that there is an extraordinary opportunity, you know, when you're 72 years old, to have more life. It's not over. So that's that part of it. And also, in this particular story, these are two men and two women who find love later in life with each other. So I certainly haven't seen that story very often.
Is there a working title?
Buddy.
Buddy.
Mm-hmm. Huh. It's the name of one of the central characters, but it's also the idea of in life, or maybe at that stage in life, maybe what matters most is to have a buddy, as well as love, as well as, you know, all those lovely things. Mm. It is... As I said earlier, it is difficult to be a playwright in this day and age, but it is a noble cause, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. There is so much in this world that we don't understand that comes at us from all directions, whether it's a tsunami in Japan or earthquakes or tornadoes in this country. I mean, it's kind of a weather thing in that description. But it's also a president who is pulling us out of a war earlier than what he had, you know, any of us thought was going to happen, or a president that keeps us in a war longer than what any of us are comfortable with. How are you to make sense of all that? And what are we supposed to do with our feelings about that? Because I certainly have feelings about them. And I think the theater is an extraordinary place to help us understand those things. And there was a time in our history when that's what the theater was for, was to educate and to... And it still is, to some degree, to educate and to inspire, to question, to provoke, to consider, to think, to... And that's the power of the theater. The power of the theater is an immediate medium that that involves and engages an audience in a way that film and television simply don't. They do it in a different way, but they don't do it in the way that the theater does. And when you sit collectively in an audience And you are laughing as one, you are crying as one, you are thinking as one, you are being challenged as one with live performance. There is nothing like it. And so to my mind, it doesn't matter if I make a nickel or if I make $5 million. That's not what I'm there for. I'm there to understand stories.
Oh, thank you. That's very thought-provoking stuff. Thank you.